Welcome to the Your Level Fitness Podcast. I have Dennis on the line with me, and you probably know him from Instagram. He is Bypassing the BS, and I do have his Instagram profile linked up in the show notes as we're talking. And then also, we're going to be talking about his podcast. That is also linked up in the show notes. So while you guys are listening, if you like what you hear, which I'm sure you're going to, go ahead and give him a follow, subscribe as well. With all that being said, Dennis, how are you, my man?
Doing good tonight, Darryl. How are you?
I'm good. So with these podcasts, I definitely want to get into your weight loss story because you, since having surgery last year, I mean, you have been busting it. You were busting it before that. I want to get into that, but there's also kind of that whole inside out process when it comes to health and fitness. So definitely just kind of the mindset around weight loss and you know, just everything that it is that you're working through from a fitness perspective. I want to get into that as well. So let's go ahead and get started. As far as your story, go back as far as you want or as recent as you want. Let's hear a little bit about it.
All right. So let's start at the beginning. I mean, I was actually always a pretty heavy kid. Mm-hmm. I remember, it's funny because when I was probably like 9 or 10, I played like midget football in the town. And I played midget football and I was in the 90-pound weight class. Now, the thing about being in the 90-pound weight class is that most of the kids that were in that class were like 2 years older than me. So I was definitely like a huskier kid and I was younger. I was not mentally as developed as they are, you know, or as they were at the time. So it made things a little more difficult on me then. Like, obviously they were more physically developed as well. So I was fighting at a disadvantage. But I mean, just roll right along through high school. I was always the heavy guy. I was never like morbidly obese during high school. I stayed pretty active. I was involved in sports. I played football my freshman year. Surprisingly enough, sophomore and junior year, I was on the cheerleading squad in my high school.
Yeah.
Which was a lot more athletic than I actually anticipated. I did it for a girl, and it turned into something I actually really liked doing. We did competitions and stuff like that, and you know, it was a way to stay very athletic. I was in the weight room a lot. Still heavier, of course, but I was more of an athletic build than I think I was previous to that. You know, then I graduated high school. I was in a, you know, what I thought was a serious relationship at the time I was a kid. And I, you know, we got very comfortable with each other and her and I both got overweight. And it kind of, it never really got out of control until after that girl. So me and my wife, we had been friends since we were like 15 years old. So we started dating right before I turned 21. Yeah. So again, we were like going into the bars and we were doing a lot of, you know, we were drinking and eating out a lot and stuff like that. Yeah. So we both started to put on weight and I noticed that was a problem. So, you know, I tried to curb it as much as I could, but at the time I wasn't really at a place where I wanted to diet or really get serious about working out or anything like that. Again, I was comfortable. I was with this woman who I was in love with and, you know, she loved me for me and I loved her for her. And that was just how we were. And then she got pregnant with our first child. And then it all starts, you know, the sympathy eating, everything, every craving that she has, you finish what's left over because she, you know, she doesn't want it.
Yeah.
The 2 o'clock Taco Bell runs and stuff like that.
Fourth meal. So, yeah. I'm familiar.
Yeah. So we, you know, after my daughter was born, my daughter's 11 now, this is 2009. I started at that point to get kind of serious about my fitness. Cause I was like, this is going too far. Like I'm getting out of shape. Like I was already out of shape, but I was getting to the point where I felt out of shape. I felt, you know, I had those self-confidence issues. I had problems like looking at myself in the mirror. So at that point I started to get serious. I started about 330 pounds at that point. And I went to the gym with a friend of mine who was in the military, and he and I got a pretty good gym routine going. And I lost a lot of weight. I got down to about 250 pounds in the span of like 5 or 6 months. So I was really doing it unhealthily though. So I was eating about 500 to 800 calories a day, tracking everything I ate. I was going to the gym one, at least one time a day, usually two. And I felt like garbage. I mean, I'll keep my language to a minimum. I felt like garbage. And it was not sustainable, obviously. So I eventually fell off. One day turned into two days turned into a week, and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm sure anybody who's been through yo-yo dieting and any fitness journey has seen how those days can spiral out of control. So I just completely stopped going to the gym at one point, and I started to gain weight back instantly. Fast forward, at this point, we had our second child. In 2014, my son was born. And, you know, I was heavy, but I told myself that I was okay with being heavy as long as I was strong, as long as I could pick my kids up and I could, you know, I felt like a strong man. I was, you know, I could do things for my in-laws when I needed stuff. And it was always this big joke about how strong I was because they had these concrete slab stairs, right? And the one would not stay seated and it needed to be like redone, I guess, but yeah. The easy solution was for me to just get down there and push it back into place. And my father-in-law always said, "Oh, you're strong like an ox, boy. You're strong like an ox." And it kind of pacified me. It made me feel okay about being as big as I was. You know, I said, as long as it doesn't, you know, negatively affect me, I could still work. I could still perform at work in high capacity. I was still strong. I could still, yeah. You know, but eventually that started to subside. So like I worked in restaurant management for 12 years, actually it's 12 to 13 years now. So at that point I was managing a very popular pizza chain. And you know, you don't care about what you're putting into your body at a certain point. So I was eating pizza every day and wings and sandwiches and just whatever I wanted. And sometimes I'd eat a whole pizza, and it got to a point where I really started to not be able to control myself. And I was at my heaviest. This was in 2019, November, 2019, I was 398 pounds at the doctor. I felt terrible all the time. I had already previously been diagnosed with sleep apnea, and I had thought about weight loss surgery in the past because a friend of mine had it with some great success. And he had a lot of success initially, and then he kind of started to bounce back and forth, but he's still, I mean, even to this day, he's still down over 100 pounds from his highest weight, which I mean, anybody who's lost that kind of weight knows what that takes. Yeah. And I really respect him for that. And, but it really led me to my decision to have my weight loss surgery. So at that point in November, I remember the day, it was November 26, 2019, the day before Thanksgiving, I got on the scale, I was 398.6 pounds. And I looked at the number and my heart dropped. I said that day, I said, I'm never going to see 400 pounds. I will not do it. Yeah. And at that appointment, it was just my first well visit with my doctor because I had gone to a new doctor. I said to him that I was interested in weight loss surgery. And he looked at me and he said, well, it's a long process, but I think you're a great candidate for it. He said, you know, you're young. You're obviously not to the point where you can't move. You're not immobile. You know, we have to do blood work and we'll do all the testing that's involved. But I think that at this point, you're a great candidate. So he connected me with my surgeon. So, you know, I had to do a sleep study. I had to do blood tests. So it turns out I was type 2 diabetic. And I had suspicion that I was just because of some symptoms that I felt. But I, at that point, had never been checked. I wasn't really taking care of myself. So I had some suspicions that I was, and turns out I was. I had my sleep study done. I was severe sleep apnea. Like he told me, he stopped the test like 30 minutes in and came, put a mask on my face. He said, you're definitely here for a reason. He's like, I can't diagnose you, but you're here for something. Like there's a reason why you're here. And you know, at that point I started going to the gym. I actually took a hiatus from restaurant management at that point. I was working at a casino in the area. Like I live close to Philadelphia. I was working in a casino in the area as a roulette dealer, and you know, everybody knew me as the big guy. I've always been very personable. I've always had, you know, the gift of gab. My mom always told me I should have been a politician. But I was working as a roulette dealer, and even as a roulette dealer, like a relatively low impact job, you're not doing anything stressful, really. I would sweat at my table. I would have a hard time walking from one end of the house to the other to get to the break room. Like it was inconvenient in my everyday life to be as big as I was. So at that point, I started working out. I said, I'm going to get this surgery, but I got a goal. I'm going to lose 50 pounds before my surgery. So I was very critical of myself during this time. So I worked in a casino. I was overnight, obviously. So I had the days free, and I told my doctor, I want to get this surgery as fast as my insurance will allow me to do it. So I made appointment after appointment after appointment. I went to a cardiologist. I went to pulmonary doctors. I went to every appointment that I had to do, the psychological eval. I did all of it. And 3 months and 3 days to the day, I was on the operating table getting my gastric bypass. I was scared, honestly. I'd never had surgery before. It was an elective surgery. And everybody tells you when you're going for these surgeries, like, are you okay with the fact that you could die? Like, and at that point, there was no other option for me. And I looked at my wife and I said to her, I said, I can't keep living this way. Yeah. It's no good for you. It's no good for me. It's no good for our children. I said, you know, I need to do this. And oddly enough, at the beginning, especially, my wife didn't even really agree with me getting surgery. She said she took me losing the weight before my surgery. So I did hit my goal of 50 pounds pre-op. She took that weight loss as an example as to why I didn't need to have surgery. But to me, having already lost 80 pounds in the past and regained it all, I knew for me mentally that not having the surgery was not an option.
Got it.
So her and I, you know, she came around, we, you know, she took me to the hospital. She stayed with me after my surgery. It's actually a funny story, because when I was in recovery from my surgery, I wanted nothing but my wife. I told the nurses in recovery, yeah, I said, bring my wife back here. And they said, we don't do that. I said, no, I want her now.
Yeah.
And they brought her back to their, you know, to their credit. So, you know, my surgery was March 10th, 2020. Now anybody who knows 2020 historically knows exactly what happened right after that.
Yeah.
But everybody, go ahead.
You got in right before the world shut down, basically. So yes. Yeah, before COVID. So
the thing that everybody might not know about about that date range for me is, March 10th, I had my surgery. March 13th, 2020, my father-in-law passed away.
Okay.
So it was a very rough time for us. You know, I had just had surgery. There was a wake that we had. But in the midst of that, yes, the entire world shut down. Yeah. Everyone was scared to see their mother and father. No one could be near each other. So it was a really hard time. I was essentially in isolation. And before having surgery, I was in the gym 6 times a week.
Yeah.
But at this point, it wasn't the same kind of 6 times a week. It wasn't like I'm punishing myself. I wasn't giving myself a browbeating every time I got into the gym. I was working for something, and I was working to better myself. And I went about it with that mentality, which made it a lot easier. So coming out of surgery, once I was cleared to work out, I didn't know what to do, because I couldn't go to the gym. I didn't have any equipment at my house, nothing that I could use. I found a group of people on Instagram, and we all had this support group on Zoom, and it was great. And, you know, we did like little challenges with each other, and it made things a lot easier. But I was still craving the gym. Like, I was still looking to get back into the gym. So I had already lost probably about 130 pounds total from my highest weight by the time I was able to get back into the gym. And like for me, I thought right away, I said, I need to invest in someone who's going to help me get the results that I'm looking for. Cause number one, like my body was just going through every kind of change you could imagine. I mean, 130 pounds, you're completely a different person at that point. And my, I got connected with a trainer, and he was somebody that really helped me come to terms with a lot of things in myself. He's like, you know, you're not going to be as strong as you were. You lost 130 pounds. You know, some of that is muscle weight. Like, you're going to be weaker. You're going to have to pace yourself. You're going to have to limit what you're doing. And it really, like, it helped me. So, like, for my, you know, my personal thing, I almost would never want to be without a coach at that, you know, from my experiences. But, you know, fast forward another, you know, what is it, 6 months or so now, I'm down a total of 197 pounds. I'm sitting at about 205. No, I guess it's 193 pounds. I'm sitting at 205. My lowest so far was 203. I had a little bit of a weight gain when I went on vacation, but I'm back down just about to where I was. But yeah, that's pretty much where we sit. You know, my story is kind of as such.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think one thing for you, I mean, it was never an issue of putting the effort in. You know, I think, and you touched on this, cause you mentioned that your wife at first wasn't on board with the surgery, but she's had her own thing with weight loss here within the last year or so as well. Right. Like, she's
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my wife, she surgery for her was not an option. She said, she didn't say that she was, you know, she would ever do it. So, without sharing her specific numbers, she wasn't too far off of where I weighed at my highest point. So she decided at pretty much right around the same time that I did. I mean, I can definitely say that my journey was a catalyst for her just to kind of get her started.
Okay.
She would not really go to the gym. That was not her thing. She adapted like a keto lifestyle. And when she did, through the year, like, she started, you know, drinking ketones, and she started doing a clean keto challenge. Like, she actually hosts a clean keto challenge group. So she has lost 120 pounds in the last 15 months.
Yeah.
And that's without surgery. So, I mean, I couldn't be more proud of her in that aspect, because the self-control that it takes, I know firsthand, especially not working for it. Yeah. I mean, she's working, but especially not working out to get those results, just doing the, you know, the meal prepping, the planning, the cooking, the things like that. Like, that's, to me, that's almost more impressive than what I've done.
Yeah, no, I mean, you guys, because I listened to the first episode of your podcast, and you mentioned it on there, and I thought that was a really interesting insight. Which, again, guys, I want you, while you're listening, because we do have both the Spotify and the Apple linked up here in the show notes, go ahead and subscribe, because Dennis is he's got some new stuff that he's coming out with for you. Another thing that you mentioned, one here. Having a coach, I think, is always good, because you've got another set of eyes and ears that's not you in your own head. And one thing that we're all really good about doing is talking ourselves in and out of things. So having somebody that is, yes, invested, but not living in the same household as you, you know, I think is always good, and somebody that knows the ins and outs of what it is that you're trying to do. The other thing that I thought was interesting that you brought up on your podcast, and that we all, I think, can relate to, is that number on the scale. And I know, because when I talk to people, because I do a lot of the habit-based coaching, like, let's build the foundation underneath whatever else it is you're doing. And the only problem when you're motivated by that number going down on the scale, because as you know, like, when you first start, those numbers are, they're motivating. Like, you get on the scale, every time you see it, there's a massive drop, and then you're like, yeah. But what happens is, like, you start doing it for the number, right? I mean, that was kind of one thing that you talked about.
Absolutely. So for me, it took a very long time, and I even still struggle with this to some extent, but it took a very long time for me to just say, the number is going to be what it is. It has to be about how I feel and how I look and how my clothes fit me. Like, there's way, way more things involved in weight loss than a number.
Yeah.
As much as I love to look at the number and say, like, oh, I'm in Wonderland, like, I'm still not even there. And I mean, to me, like, that is a goal, absolutely, but it's not the goal. I think for me, the biggest part of it was is really just to be comfortable in my own skin, which I'm at a point where I feel like I really am. There are some days that are harder than others, obviously, but for the most part, like, I really feel like I'm comfortable with myself, which is probably the first time I could say this in my entire life.
That's excellent. I mean, being able to be comfortable in the skin that you're in, I mean, that is, I think that's the ultimate goal, because when we're all looking at weight and we're all looking at numbers and we're all looking at body composition, we're not feeling good about ourselves. And, you know, if you can get to the point where you can look at where you're at and appreciate where you've gotten to this point, which doesn't mean that you stop working. It just means that you look at kind of where you are and you're like, yeah, you know what? I can appreciate this and I can be proud of myself. It's just, it's really hard to get there. And I think if you can put that in perspective, I think it helps. Now, one thing I am curious, because that is absolutely what you would tell anybody that asks you, like, what should you focus on? But you said, like, you still get tripped up by the number, which I think is a real honest assertion. And I think that still happens to a lot of folks. So, like, how often would you say in a week, maybe, do you still get tripped up about the number that you see?
So I guess it depends on what the number is that day. It's kind of funny. Like, so, I mean, anybody knows your weight's going to fluctuate, especially as you get closer to your goal, your weight's going to fluctuate up and down on a daily basis. Yep. So, and depending on the time of day you get on the scale, things like that. Like, I still, to this day, I will get on the scale almost every day, and it's an unhealthy habit, I know. But for me, like, if I see it, you know, floating up around 207, 208, I'm like, all right, that's a problem. Let's get to work. Yeah. If I see it sitting around 203, 204, I'm like, all right, cool. I feel good today, you know. But again, it's not always about the number. It's especially when I'm in the gym is when I notice it. Like, the ease in which I move, the ability that my body has now, the strength that I feel when I'm lifting. Like, I'm pretty much back up to where I was when I was at my strongest. And for me, I was lifting the most weights when I was in high school, because I was, yeah, I was in athletics. I was doing cheerleading. I was doing football. So we lifted, like, with cheerleading, we lifted 3 times a week in the school weight room. And the numbers that I put up now are very comparable to what they were when I was 17. That's and awesome. I feel really good about that, because I probably haven't been able to do that stuff since then. So again, like it's like you said, I mean, it's going to trip me up, and it's just about correcting the course for myself. It's like, all right, the number is what it is. You can't change it unless you get to work.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. I mean, you've got to put the work in, and it's a whole thing about you and yourself. Now, a lot of times people say it's you against yourself. I would argue that before you can get to you against yourself, you've got to have a healthy relationship with yourself before you can put that challenge in. I alluded to the podcast, but you, I mean, you do all the stuff when it comes to content. I see you doing the videos. I see you, I'm super stoked that you're doing podcasting now, but let's talk a little bit about that. Cause it looks like what you're doing is you're taking your personal weight loss story and you're trying to help others through not only just weight loss, but just kind of like how they're doing in life in general. Right?
Absolutely. So something that I realized very early on is, like, the power of my story goes beyond me. And it took a little bit of reflecting to really see, but, like, my friend's story really jump-started me into my journey. And like, so reflecting upon that and making that, like, the basis for why I wanted to do this, it's so I look at his story, and I know that he's not very public about his story. But I'm close friends with the guy, so I know what he's been through. I know his ups, I know his downs, I know his family, I know a lot about this guy. He's a really close friend of mine. And knowing that story, knowing how it's changed my life, I feel like the more I put my story out and the more I put my struggles out and show everybody that these are things that you're going to go through, but it's possible to overcome, if I can help one person change their life, for me, any everything that I do, all the hours that I put in on my content, everything is worth it. Because I, in all honesty, like, I'm not gonna sit here and say that I'm perfect. I'm not gonna sit here and say I follow my surgeon's guidelines to the T. I really don't. As most people who go through weight loss surgery will tell you, I'm sure. But for me, it's about finding a medium that I can live with, something that I can do consistently forever, because I don't ever want to go back. And I know that sharing that I'm a real person and that I go through these real struggles are going to allow more real people to see that they have the same ability.
Yeah.
And I think that, just sharing that, like, it could change someone's life. And if it changes one person's life, that's a ripple effect that I could never know. Because my friend going through what he went through changed my life. Me changing my life changed my wife's life. It changed the future of my children. It changed countless other people. I mean, there's something, I mean, with my wife's group, what she does, I mean, that's, that goes far beyond anything that I even know. And just seeing that little ripple effect, and it's only been a year and a half at this point, maybe almost, you know, a year and a half. And at, for me, like, just seeing that, if I continue on that path, how many lives might I be able to change? And that's really what, just what keeps me pushing every day. Who can I help?
One, when you start, when people share their stories and their honest story, now everybody's going to have kind of their guardrails on, like, what's too much, and you need to have that. But when you're able to share kind of your authentic self, and that's what you're putting out there, then it's relatable. And that is what helps people. And the other thing that you said that I think is super important is you're, it's very easy in this kind of stuff for people to get caught up in numbers, you know, like with podcasts, how many downloads do you have? How many followers do you have on social media? But I think if you always look at it as, if I can touch one person, like, that's the job. And there is a ripple effect on that. But yeah, I mean, I think you've got, you definitely have the right mindset and the right point of view on that stuff. So that's awesome, man. That's great to hear. Now, as we're getting ready to wrap up again, I'm going to plug yet again. I want you guys to follow Dennis on Instagram, subscribe to his podcast. Is there anywhere else that that we should send listeners as we finish up here?
So I probably do about split content on Facebook and Instagram. So if you guys want to follow me on Facebook, it's Dennis Massa, M-A-S-S-A. I have a public profile. It's a picture of me on there. So if you guys just add me as a friend, I will add you back as long as your profile is real. I'm mostly on Instagram. I do have a YouTube page that I'm trying to get going, but I don't really do much with it yet. I'm also on TikTok. It's Bypassing the BS. Okay. Same as my Instagram handle. And, you know, you've already linked where my podcast is available. So
you've got that link tree. You update that, the link tree in your Instagram profile, you update regularly, and that's going to have all your current stuff. Cool. So awesome. Guys, go ahead, check Dennis out everywhere, all the places, you know, contact him on Instagram, contact him on Facebook, contact him everywhere. As long as you have your profile picture up, you guys will be good. Man, I appreciate you coming on. I love the stuff that you're doing. Can't wait to see where you go with all of it. And we'll chat again soon. What do you think?
Absolutely, Daryl. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.